Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
There is no Pauline doctrine as such in the book of Acts. You got to go to Romans and then on that direction, because Acts is the in-between book that moves from the Judaic system into the church age or into the age of grace. But when it comes to doctrine, you have to go by what Paul says, and that it was to him were revealed these things that had been kept secret from ages and generations, but now is made manifest. Now some of you are going to say, oh no, not again. But Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 29:29, and this is for the benefit of new listeners who are probably just catching us in the last few days for the first time. Deuteronomy 29:29, and this of course is Moses writing to the nation of Israel. But like I showed you in the closing moment of the last half hour, God has always been the God of the whole human race, not just Israel, not just Gentiles, but each in their own segmented period of time. First he dealt with Israel, and now he's been dealing with the Gentiles, that is, primarily. All right, Deuteronomy 29:29. And this just falls right in with what Paul says. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Why? He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Now listen, most of you have been parents that I can see out here. And when your kids were little, were there things that you didn't want your kids to know? Well, of course there were. You were the parent. You know, I can remember, see, when I was little, my folks, if they didn't want us to know what we were talking about, they'd talk in German. And you'd sit there and you'd cock your ear, you know, and you thought you'd lost your hearing. Well, they were just talking in a different way. Why? They were keeping things secret from us kids. They didn't want us to know. Well, God can do the same thing. He's sovereign. He doesn't have to tell everything, see? And he didn't. And he kept things secret. But here's the next part. Those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we, now, for as far as Israel is concerned, may do the words of the law. All right, now God is dealing on that same basis then with the Gentile world. He has kept all these revelations that come through the Apostle Paul secret. Jesus never betrayed any of these secrets in his earthly ministry. Jesus never made mention of the body of Christ and the saving of Gentiles outside of Judaism. Never. Why? It was kept secret. And he was not about to betray that sovereign attribute of God to keep things secret until he wanted it revealed. And this is the secret, I think, of understanding Scripture, is that God did not reveal everything all at one time. That as he came up through Scripture, even in dealing with the nation of Israel, he didn't tell them everything all at once. It was a progressive revelation. And then you come to the ministry of Christ, and it again is a progressive revelation. But then when we come finally to Acts chapter 9 and the appearance of the Apostle Paul, out comes these revelations of secret things. And he's always referring to them as the mystery. And remember the word mystery in the Greek? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. Don't ever think that for a minute. I've just picked out a few words here and there that I think are so important. The Greek word mysterion is the word translated usually as mystery. That's easy enough. But it is also at times translated secret. So the two words are synonymous. If it's been a mystery kept in the mind of God, it was kept secret. And this is what Paul is constantly referring to then as this, what I call that body of truth that he calls the mysteries. All right, let's come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, these are all verses that we've looked at in days gone by, but like I said, for the benefit of new listeners, we're going to hit this at least partly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. All got it? He says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards or overseers or managers of the secrets of God." What secrets? The things that he has kept secret until now it's being revealed. All right, now verse 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards, managers, overseers, that a man be found faithful." Now, when you go all the way back to Genesis, when Abraham was being promised a son and none was forthcoming, and he was almost getting frustrated, and he says to the Lord in so many words, "I don't have a son. How can a nation of people come from me? All I have is this Eliezer of Damascus, who is the steward of my estate," or whatever. Well, what did he mean? Eliezer was the manager of Abraham's possessions. It was more than what Abraham could handle himself. So he had this hired manager, steward. Now, it stands to reason. If you're going to be faithful to the owner of the estate, and you are now at the second tier of management, if you're going to be all that you should be, you will be what? Faithful. Because the name of the game is to do all that you can to enhance your master's estate. Now, Paul is bringing this same idea down to the revelation of the mysteries, this revelation of secrets that you and I as believers now are put in a place of responsibility. As a manager over a business, we are to be faithful in passing these things on to those who have never heard. It's our responsibility. And you better know what you're talking about, because this is what the world is hung up on. Confusion and deception. And we have to come with that which is pure truth. The revelation of things that had been kept secret. And the Apostle Paul is the only one who is over and over referring to that very same concept. All right, you're still in 1 Corinthians, aren't you? Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, dropping down to verse 51. Now here again, I've made it very plain on the program, as long as I've been on the air, that I am a proponent of a pre-tribulation outcalling of the church, the body of Christ, which is the rapture. And a lot of people are all shook up by it. They can't understand it. Well, it's because they don't understand the mysteries that were revealed to Paul. Granted, there is never anything else in Scripture, in the Old Testament or the Gospels or Acts or Revelation or any of the others, that even alludes to what we call the rapture. Why? Because it's a Pauline revelation. Now, when I say Pauline, I mean Paul in the other extent. All right. It's a Pauline revelation. And here he calls it what it is. Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a" what? "Mystery." A secret. See? Behold, Paul says, I'm going to reveal a secret. This is something that's never been revealed before. Never. And what is it? That there's coming a day. Paul thought, of course, it was a lot closer than it was. Maybe we think it's closer than it will be, but I think it's getting close. There's coming a day when all of a sudden there's going to be a great resurrection of the believers who have died, and it's going to be in a moment, and we shall all be changed. See? We're not going to die, but we're going to be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, not one of the angelic trumpets in Revelation. This is a singular trumpet in God's hands, the trumpet of God. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's a revelation of a secret. It's never been revealed before. The Lord never talked like this. The Lord talked of resurrection, but the Lord never talked of a group of people who would be alive at the time. So here we have a revelation of a mystery. All right, now I'm not going to have time for all of them, but come on over with me to Ephesians. Ephesians, back to chapter 3 again. Ephesians chapter 3, where this whole period of grace was unknown to the whole human race. Jesus never referred to it. Peter couldn't have referred to it. But Paul is the one that God by grace used to reveal these secrets to the whole human race. And what is it? Starting at verse 1. We looked at the verse in our last program, I think, or the one before. But Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation or the administration, see, just like Eliezer was the administrator of Abraham's estate, and it was a viable thing, all right, so also is this administration of the grace of God. Listen, that's never been held before the human race before. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word. Now here it comes. How that by revelation. What's the other word for revelation? A revealing. So how that by a revealing he made known unto me the mystery or the secret. And what's the secret? This whole body of Pauline truth. How that the work of the cross completed everything that the human race needed for salvation. We don't have to do a thing. God's done it all. But you don't find that until you get to Paul. And this is the whole revelation of that which was kept secret. All right, reading on in chapter 3 of Ephesians. We looked at this a few weeks ago when we were in the book. But now verse 4. Whereby when you read, that is Paul's epistles, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, a secret, which in other ages or generations was not made known. See how plain that language is when you understand what we're talking about? Don't forget Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. He's sovereign. And he doesn't have to reveal it until he's good and ready. And that was when the Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentile. And so he says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. And remember, Paul had others that followed in his footsteps. I think Barnabas could be considered one, and maybe Timothy and some of those. All right. But here was the whole concept that was never revealed before. That the Gentiles, see? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, not just subjects of Christ's kingship, like Israel will be, but Gentiles are to be brought into that position of joint heirs with Christ. You can't find that anywhere else in Scripture except Paul's epistles. It's just not in there. You can look. But here it is, see, how that the Gentiles will be in the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. All right, now then you come on down to verse 9, which we used again a couple programs back. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the what? the secret, the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been, what's the next word? Hid. See how plain that is? Hid in God, the same God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Well, all the way through Paul's epistles, you have this word popping up, the mystery, that it was revealed only to Paul. Now, a verse just comes to mind, poor Peter, bless his heart, and I don't put him down one iota. Come back to his second epistle, 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 15. I haven't used these two verses in a long, long time. But now remember, Peter didn't have the mysteries revealed to him. Only Paul did. But as Paul began to preach these mysteries and the gospel that was Paul's gospel and the appearing of the body of Christ, Peter just stood there, I think, from the outside looking in and, oh, I'll let you read the verses first and then I'll comment. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 15. Now remember, Peter writes these little epistles about the same time that Paul is writing the prison epistles. I think the two men were probably martyred within a year of each other. And so this is at the end of Peter's ministry, shortly before he's martyred. And he says, an account, or understand, that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Of course, that's the main theme of the whole Bible. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, that is, by the revelation of the secrets, by the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Now look at verse 16. As also in all his epistles, that is from Romans through Philemon, speaking in them of these things, that is the things that pertain to salvation, in which, that is Paul's epistles, in which are some things hard to be understood. That's Peter writing by inspiration. By which he says, they that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, and it's going to be to their own destruction. Now, do you see what the man is saying? That when Paul reveals these mysteries that had been kept secret, it was such revelation, it was such breaking of new ground that even good old Peter couldn't grasp it all. It was beyond him. And I can see why. Because Peter was steeped in Judaism. Peter was steeped in legalism. Peter was steeped in the Christ of his earthly ministry. And so when the Apostle Paul comes along and presents all this to the Gentile world, instead of, like I showed you in the last program, who did Peter address in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3? Ye men of Israel, ye men of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. And then all of a sudden have these things promoted amongst the Gentile world. I can see why Peter couldn't comprehend it. And I don't believe he had a full understanding of it right up until the time he was martyred. It was just something totally beyond him. And so when Paul speaks of these mysteries, for goodness sakes, don't just shove it off as if say, well, I can't understand what he's talking about. He's merely telling us that he is being used of the same God that called Abram, the same God that called the 12 disciples up there in Galilee, but the same God is now revealing to this apostle a whole new concept of things that had never been heard of before. One of which is that we are joint heirs with Christ. Another one is that one day the trumpet will sound and we're going to be gone. Now, I know that's hard for a lot of people to swallow because it's not in the rest of the Scriptures. But it's in Paul because it is a part of the revelation of the mysteries. See? And then it's not hard to comprehend. And so, here again, coming back to Colossians, if you will, when he speaks of this, verse 26, even the mystery, the secret, which has been hid from ages, thousands of years, God kept it secret, and from generations. Now you see, as soon as you get into Matthew chapter 1, you have the whole nation of Israel broken down into a series of generations. None of them had a concept of all this. And so, all the way up through human history, whether it was before Abraham or during Israel's time in the spotlight, they knew nothing of these things that are now made manifest to what people? The saints. The world doesn't know what we're talking about. A good percentage of Christendom doesn't know what we're talking about. You know why? Because they avoid Paul like a plague. They won't come into Paul's writings if they can possibly avoid it. I had a gentleman tell me again the other day. He said, Les, I've been keeping track. He said, every Sunday morning for the last 3 months, our sermon has been out of Matthew. Why? I've got nothing against Matthew. It's the Word of God. But when you spend 100% of your time in Matthew, you're missing the revelations of the mystery. You're missing justification by faith alone. You're missing this whole concept of the body of Christ. It's not in Matthew. You're missing this whole concept of the grace of God. It's not in Matthew. You're missing this whole concept of one day the blessed hope, as Paul writes to Titus, the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not in Matthew. See how many people are missing it? I'll never forget years ago, I hadn't been in Oklahoma very long, and I had a doctor come to my class, and he would sit right in front of me. And oh, he would almost sit there like a starved bird. And he would say, every once in a while, Les, why haven't we been taught these things before? He said, 50 years I've been going to church. And he said, they've been cheating me. Well, I'm afraid that's too often the case. And you know why? Because they will not study the mysteries. And here's where it's at for us Gentiles. And I say this kindly. You have to understand the revelation of the mysteries to understand God's dealing with the Gentile world. All right, move on. We got a minute or two. Verse 27. Maybe I can finish the chapter. My, that'd be something, wouldn't it? If I could finish chapter 1 before we leave. All right, verse 27. To whom? The saints. The believers of the church age. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among what people? Gentile. Now, I'm not leaving the Jewish people out of this, but I'm going to say what the Scripture says, that this is directed primarily to the Gentile. Now, I have Jewish believers in my audience. I know I do. We stay with a Jewish Christian couple when we go up to Minnesota. And we can revel in these things. So the Jew isn't ostracized. He's not owned, but for the most part, they can't accept it. And that's their problem, not mine. All right. And so this is this secret in particular that he's talking here, that for the Gentiles, it's Christ in you. The indwelling Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit, of course. Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. That's what we're living for. We're not living for this world. Oh, we all have our ambitions, and I'm as ambitious as anyone. I love my cattle herds, and I love my ranching as much as anybody. But hey, this isn't the end. Glory is the end. Glory is the end, but that's not saying we can't enjoy these things in this earthly sojourn. All right? So Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.